Once again, this is Chris Gerner with American Exposé. It is the 3rd of August, 2005. Yeah, that's not my regular music. I just felt like playing that music for a change. I don't know why. I was listening to it before the broadcast. I said, heck, I'm just going to play this. Play that song that I seem to like so much for some reason. I don't know. But not the regular theme song. But when you have the ability to do what I do with the music and all, well, that's what happens. We're going to have Hanza with us on the bottom of the hour break for a while. We're going to connect some dots. And I see here in the newspaper today, and keep in mind, this is First Amendment Radio and needs your support all the time. Pledge your support to the network. Here we see car bomb kills Coweta Marine. That's a Marine squad leader from Coweta in Oklahoma. Died Monday in Iraq when a suicide bomb detonated near him, the Department of Defense announced. You can look in every paper throughout the country. Every paper in every city of every country will describe the death of soldiers that died from their city. This is designed to traumatize the American public, to burn them out about this mess, this Middle East mess we're in, an extension of the Vietnam War. Here we're siding with Jane Fonda now as she's going to do a bus tour. And I have it in the paper here somewhere. I have so many papers here. I need to start cutting out the articles and putting them aside, which I'll start to do tonight. Clean this desk off. We see this Jane Fonda and her Stopping the War campaign. And in Vietnam, it was all about communism. Well, now it's about democratizing Iraq. And it's also about the placement of communist agencies in Iraq that we know about. I certainly was surprised today to notice that this communist conspiracy from the U.S. code that I have on my website, stating that the government of the United States has determined that the Communist Party of the United States of America was, or the Communist Party was designed to overthrow our federal government. Well, that section is gone. And Darren, I hope you're listening. That section is gone now. They've completely redesigned the U.S. code. And I'm not sure what it was. Title 22, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, I believe. And I forgot what section it is. But the U.S. Code may be redesigned to keep that thing off my website. I don't know. It was very incriminating information. According to Joan Vion, the Bank for International Settlements released their 75th annual report on June 27th to commemorate its founding in 1930. Most countries today have a central bank, which is a private corporation that handles its monetary system. Bi-monthly, central bank ministers from 40 countries meet at the BIS, that's the Bank for International Settlements, to review ways, quote, to promote the cooperation of central banks and to provide additional facilities for international financial operations, end quote. Once a year, the world's central bankers meet in Basel to take a closer look at the status of the world's central banking system. Besides the annual review, this year's report considered the need for, get this, new mechanisms to keep the financial system more in balance. The BIS report highlighted the uneven global expansion that they see while world output expanded by 5% in 2004, the highest rate in nearly 30 years. They said its growth showed a new uneven economic expansion. Although the United States is an engine of growth, they noted the key Asian economies as being at the second pole of global dynamism, while slower growth can be seen in other larger advanced economies. Absolutely amazing. The U.S. and China accounted for nearly 50% of the world's increase in global output, with the global economy growing at 4% in 2005. In spite of oil prices, which were projected to remain high for a prolonged period of time, the BIS is at the apex of the global financial system. It was birthed in 1944 when the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank were set up. That's the Bretton Woods Agreement, listeners. should we dare to mention that its founders were Harry Dexter White, who worked in the Treasury Department, and who was a communist spy along with John Maynard Keynes, a Fabian socialist. Keynesian economics is at the heart of the reason for all levels of government being broke. In 1971, President Richard Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard, which forced all the other countries of the world to follow suit, thus changing the global monetary system from one of fixed currencies to one of floating currencies. When a currency is no longer backed by gold, it is then possible to play all kinds of games with its value by buying or selling a large quantity of one particular currency. An economically powerful individual or bank can literally move the market in their favor by buying low and selling high. The new patterns of booms and busts, which the BIS, that's the Bank for International Settlements, refer to, are not only man-made as a result of the floating currency, but the highs and lows have been exacerbated by the fact that the barriers between the nation states are gone. The ability to buy and sell currency on a global basis, as seen in the Asian crisis. For the countries that refused to open their markets to the World Trade Financial Services Agreement, their currencies were crushed and crashed. Furthermore, the highs and the lows of a country's stock market as a result of the respective central bank buying and selling that country's treasury bills. For example, when the Federal Reserve adds money to our banking system, interest rates drop and the stock market rises. Since the NASDAQ crash, interest rates in the U.S. have fallen to 45-year lows, stimulating both the prices of real estate to historic highs and the stock market. All very, very interesting. The BIS annual report cited three such cycles of highs and lows. The first began in the 1970s when the dollar was taken off the gold standard. Mr. White said that the change in the gold standard was very important in world affairs. The second cycle began in the mid-1980s, ending in a property bust, and the current cycle began in the 1990s. All Americans should be concerned about this report, for the world's bankers are signaling the end of the third cycle, which can only end with higher interest rates as money is taken out of the market. We will have another property bust as seen in the mid-1980s? Or will we have a repeat of the NASDAQ? That's the question she asks. Interestingly, this is Joan Vion. The BIS cites household debt being at historic highs in a way they created it. Of course, buyers would seize the opportunity to trade up their home for a bigger one since they can afford more because of lower interest rates. As a result, Spain, the UK, France, the US, and the Nordic countries have had huge increases in property values, with household debt to income ratios at unprecedented highs. Furthermore, household savings is not evident in the US to the same extent that it is in the Asian countries. World national savings rose to 25% of gross domestic product, or about 1% point more than the annual average for the current decade. This was due to higher savings habits in the developed world, and in particular China, where savings rose to 48%. High debt-to-income ratios and the low savings in the U.S. do not bode well for Americans. The BIS annual report noted, quote, some disturbing patterns of uneven growth worldwide, end quote, while the U.S. and China accounted for half of the world's growth. Absolutely amazing. I'm just amazed at all this. The euro and the euro area and Japan have even slower growth. They write that the prospect of reducing America's fiscal deficit is not encouraging, citing concerns over disinflation. The BIS stressed the need for interest rates to rise in order to slow consumer spending. The bank's economic advisor, William White, explained, quote, the time has come for a measured withdrawal of the stimulus that has been put into the economic system, end quote. What Mr. White is saying is that it is time for the Fed to withdraw money from the banking system that created low interest rates and corresponding high property values, and a high stock market. With the Federal Reserve's ninth interest rate increase, we can see the stated direction of the economic cycle. Lastly, the report stated that the underlying, quote, underlying issue seems to be that we no longer have a system that somehow forces countries to alter their domestic absorption and associated exchange rates so as to reduce external imbalances in an orderly way, end quote. It should be noted that with a floating exchange rate, there are no ways for any kind of adjustments like there was under the gold standard. Listeners, there's a little more to this article, and it's very, very interesting. The BIS recommends that several academics have suggested a way of establishing a single international currency or perhaps moving to regional currency blocks such as the dollar, euro, and renminbi or yen. This is the first time she has seen renminbi and yen tied together. What it indicates is the Chinese renminbi appears to be overtaking the yen. A year ago, U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Dr. Paul Volcker said, quote, a new mechanism was needed for the financial or the world financial system, end quote, and that, quote, in a globalized world, we should have an international currency, end quote. In a world floating currencies ruled by the rich and powerful, we will always have external imbalances, thus creating an evolving system of global economic imbalances that leads to feudalism. Global feudalism is created as the rich and powerful continually skim off the top of the world's economic imbalances so as to even it out for them. Joan Vion, listeners. Very, very fascinating information. Very, very interesting. And in the meantime, we have over there on American Exposé, Dennis had a computer problem at one time, and then he all of a sudden came back with a vengeance. And he talks about the Castle Coalition and the Castle Coalition's Hands Off My Home campaign will give ordinary citizens the means to protect their homes from government-forced takings for private development. The campaign was initiated in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's dreadful ruling in Kelo versus New London, which allows the government to take any property from home and small business owners anywhere in the country and hand it over to another private party. The approach to ending eminent domain abuse in the hands of Off My Home initiative is multifaceted. The Institute for Justice will continue to pursue common sense restrictions on eminent domain based on the public use clauses of each state constitution. Upon the launch of the campaign, governors and the mayor of the District of Columbia were asked to sign the Hands Off My Home pledge, which will ultimately be extended to legislators and city officials. In addition, IJ and the Castle Coalition will support activists nationwide who are urging substantive change to state and local eminent domain laws and host an annual conference teaching for the tools and techniques useful to effective grassroots opposition to eminent domain abuse. The Castle Coalition's Eminent Domain Abuse Survival Guide, which has helped communities everywhere stop greedy government land grabs, will be updated and expanded as well. This is a great direction, listeners. Simply put, they will do whatever it takes to protect every American home, small business, and house of worship from the government and its corporate allies. And they urge you to join them in the fight. Very, very fascinating direction. Very, very vital direction, apparently, that we have here. Castle Coalition Citizens Fighting Eminent Domain Abuse. It's on the website AmericanExpose.com. Here it is, right in today's date. Shoot. I thought I was looking at the bottom of the website. It's on today's date. Hands Off My Home campaign, the Castle Coalition. Citizens Against Repressive Zoning We've talked about that. And there's an article in the Hemmings Motor News about them that I've been saving. I don't have it handy right now. But Citizens Against Repressive Zoning, they are car people, listeners. They're car restoration people. And hands off to anyone that wants to restore an old vehicle. I'm wholeheartedly for it. Anytime you can restore an old vehicle instead of buying a new one, in my opinion, is very, very logical. Very logical. And they call themselves Citizens Against Repressive Zoning, i.e. nuisance zoning, and they were formed in the late 1980s and now have helped at least one person from every state in the union. They commenced because of the many anti-automotive zoning codes and the regulations foisted upon neighborhoods by unelected bureaucrats, which impacted the founders, who were all car collectors, and found these rules unreasonable and often illegal and unconstitutional. And it's very, 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 very important to keep this in mind, people. We also discovered that many of these, or those who enforced these codes, were from the segment of society that enjoyed pushing people around and enforcing their own standards upon many who were of a different cut. They discovered that the nuisance zoning commonly reduced itself to class warfare. And they admit that such zoning is sometimes warranted and that it is possible that some persons who collect vehicles need strong supervision, but too often this policing of private property goes totally beyond legality or reason. And you can contact them. They're on the website here under today's date. You know, it's funny how Dennis just thinks in my mind. It's like we're thinking in the same place in many respects. Also on the website, towards the bottom, you learn about the Federal Reserve Board. H.R. 1148, introduced by Congressman Ron Ball to eliminate the Federal Reserve Board, is still in place, H.R. 1148. That would be something for everyone to gather around and support. Absolutely. You know, it's such a monster. This whole banking system is such a mess. And for us to get to the bottom of this is very, very difficult for many at times. And I can never have much success with certain things that go on with our country. As I thumb through today's newspaper, we see here, astronaut to attempt removing material. And here's President Bush speaks to the Space Shuttle Discovery astronauts. And I've been monitoring the NASA channel, listeners. It's very, very interesting. See what's going on there. Here we see five more hurricanes expected this year. As many as 14 more tropical storms will form in the Atlantic before the end of November, and up to five of them will strengthen into major hurricanes, government forecasters warned Tuesday. What do they know that we don't know? And what about weather modification and engineering of storms? So much of that we don't know, that we can never document, but we know it's a fact. Weather modification is a fact. Here we see rockets missed Israeli protesters. Palestinians fired rockets Tuesday at Israeli soldiers gathered for a massive protest against the upcoming Gaza withdrawal, but missed killing a three-year-old Palestinian boy and wounding nine other Palestinians in Gaza. Witnesses said militants fired three rockets at the Israeli town of Sderot, where thousands of Israelis had gathered for a peaceful demonstration. It's very, very funny how the UN system formed Israel in 1947, November 25th. I have that information here. I see the Middle East going to be the cracker box or the cinder box for World War III. Where is it going to go? How is it going to be escalated? What's going to happen in the long run? Well, I'll tell you one thing. This country is going to burn out of its wars. This country would rather capitulate than to engage in atomic war. And there is the situation, listeners. It's a monster. And we have such things going on that are unexplainable. We have the coalition, we have the insurgents. Everything's loosely defined now. The coalition, UN forces, we are the UN system. What is happening here? Our country is being set up by people running our country, like people running our country in the past. We're being set up. We're being set up to be hated by the rest of the world. So the rest of the world pounces on us like we pounced on the axis of evil during the Second World War. That's what's being driven and directed here. I don't doubt in the least that Russia is behind the insurgents, just like Russia was behind North Vietnam during the Vietnam War. I'm convinced of that situation through my research. We're going to have Dr. Joseph Douglas on, the author of Red Cocaine, very, very soon. We have lots to say about that, listeners, lots to say. Here we see North Korea talks nearing conclusion in today's paper. Breaking its public silence on nuclear disarmament talks, North Korea said Tuesday he wants to narrow differences with the United States, but still insisted it won't give up its atomic weapons program until Washington withdraws alleged threats. See how this goes, and it gets weirder as this goes on. The main U.S. envoy said talks were nearing their conclusion, possibly within days, with delegates from six countries set to submit final comments today on a draft proposed by China for a statement of principles to guide future arms negotiations. See how China gets involved again with North Korea. China got involved with North Korea during the Korean War. China is always going to get involved with North Korea because China is North Korea's little son, North Korea's little daughter, North Korea's little system. China owns North Korea, always has. They've always been allies. And that's always going to be the case. In the meantime, we have the Alliance for America, and they call themselves true conservationists. And I'm looking at this for the first time. Farmers, ranchers, loggers, miners, harvesters, hunters, fishermen, trappers, landowners, recreationists, teachers, nurses, homemakers, citizens. They have lots of information. U.S. Forest Service refusing building permits for cabins lost in forest fires. There is the point. Unfortunately, many were built in riparian zones, which is where they wanted to be right by the water. Now a lot of these areas are home to a lot of endangered species. That's always the excuse, the endangered species. But what about the sustainable communities and to move families to sustainable communities? Ultimately, that's the end goal of all of this that's going on today, people. Out of San Bernardino County, the County Sun, Forest Service begins cabin permit withdrawals dated July 28th, listeners. Angeles National Forest, I'm very familiar with that place. The wheels have begun rolling for some 500 owners of summer cabins hoping to get new permits allowing them to stay in the forest. But for those who lost their cabins in the 2002 forest fires, there has been no decision on whether they will be allowed to rebuild. Officials Wednesday began the 3.5-year process of reviewing cabin tracks for new permits, good for 20 years. You never own your land. People who live in summer cabins part of the year now have special use permits, which expire at the end of 2008. Forest Service officials will evaluate the environmental impact of each cabin. Some will remain, others will have to be modified, and some may no longer be allowed. Quote, this is something that is being done nationwide, in quotes at Forest Service spokeswoman Sherry Rollman. And certainly it is. It's part of the Agenda 21 system, listeners. Many of the cabins were built 68 to 80 years ago when there weren't many environmental standards. Oh, boy. Quote, unfortunately, many were built in riparian zones, which is where they wanted to be right by the water, Rollman said. Now, a lot of those areas are home to a lot of endangered species, end quote. Well, how are the endangered species created, listeners? And who are they? The question for cabin owners now is how tough the review process will be. Roman said the Forest Service will work with cabin owners to bring homes up to compliance rather than just giving a stamp of approval for or disapproval. For the 110 cabins that burned during the Curve and Williams fires, there will probably be a decision as to whether cabin owners will be allowed to rebuild in anywhere from 6 months to the end of next year, said Ranger Marty Dumpus. Mr. Dumpus, I see. Well, anyway, this is all very, very interesting. Very interesting website. Lots of research to be done on AmericanExpose.com listeners. Here we see in the business section of today's paper, the National Rifle Association is involved here, listeners. The NRA. Here we see the NRA has fired a few more rounds in the state's showdown over whether employees can keep guns locked in their cars at work, and we're talking about in Oklahoma, listeners. At a rally in Iqaluit, NRA Executive President Wayne LaPierre called on about 400 in attendance and gun owners nationwide to boycott all Conoco and Phillips 66 products, unveiling billboard advertising that reads, "ConocoPhillips is no friend of the Second Amendment." The NRA sent its posse to southeast Oklahoma to support 12 workers who were fired at the Weyerhaeuser Company paper mill in Valiant there, actually 3 years ago, for violating a no-guns ban the company had recently extended to its parking lot. Legislators subsequently passed a bill to prevent such firings. ConocoPhillips, Williams Companies, and others filed a federal lawsuit to block the new law, now pending before federal district judge Terrence Kern in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listeners. Both these companies are on the wrong side of the right people, end quote, LaPierre told the Oklahoman last week. One fired Weyerhaeuser employee's daughter had to drop out of college, he said, and another filed bankruptcy. ConocoPhillips' primary concern is safety. Spokesman Jerry Callender said, quote, "We are simply trying to provide a safe and secure working environment for our employees. By keeping guns out of our facilities, including our company parking lots," end quote, he said. "That's ridiculous. A safe country is an armed country. Everyone is safer when everyone doesn't know who is armed and who is not armed, and that's the bottom line, people. That's just the way it is. Everyone's safer when everyone doesn't know who's armed and who's not armed. Just wait until we're disarmed and look at the examples of Australia, England. Crime always goes up and skyrockets when firearms are taken out of society." Should have Hansa Molina with us. Stay with us.
Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and WBCQ Shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Are you there, Hansa?
I'm here, Chris. Hello.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Glad to be here.
Well, we have these situations all over the globe, and this insurgency, the insurgents over there in the Middle East. We are over there with our military. A lot of trauma is going on, a lot of articles. That, I don't know whether you collect papers throughout your travels of various cities you go to. Probably not.
But no, I don't. No, I'm sorry.
We see in the newspapers where different individuals from those cities are killed in the Middle East and in Afghanistan. And I think that's designed to traumatize the people to a certain extent. And I also believe that the insurgents in these wars over there are supported by Russia and Communist China.
Yeah, you are correct. It's very easy to tie Russia to the insurgency because, in my opinion, Russia was the first was involved in getting us into Iraq in the first place, getting us into this predicament. They maneuver our foreign policy. They the Russians very skillfully managed to promote the idea that the 9/11 hijacker, Mohammed Atta, was in fact in contact in Prague, in Czech Republic, with Iraqi intelligence officer.
Mm.
Now, the situation in Czech Republic is not what people think it is. Everything, the spread of the information and media are safely in control of the communists. So therefore, this was deliberately spread information, so we would actually jump on this information and tie Iraq into the control of Al-Qaeda. I'm not saying that Iraq was not supplying. There's credible information that Iraq was supplying money. Saddam was supplying money to Palestinian suicide bombers, and that's confirmed. In case of Al Qaeda, based on the information that's just surfaced in London and was published by FSB Russian Security Services defector Alexander Litvinenko, Ayman al-Zawahiri, second in command of Al Qaeda, was in fact trained in FSB training camp in former Soviet Republic of Dagestan in 1998. this information, I don't know the Russian response to it. Of course, to me this is nothing new, because I served in Czechoslovak military and we were training people like that in Czechoslovakia during those times. So, you know, this is nothing new. I suspected that was the case in the beginning, but there's credible information about Zawahiri basically disappearing in Russia for a period of time, and then the Russians basically let him go. That was published by several sources, including the Wall Street Journal.
Hmm.
So this is nothing new. What the Russians are playing at is very simple. They want to pretend that they have nothing to do with terrorism, so they created their own terrorist problem, which is the Chechen Mafia. Again, run by a Russian agent, the GRU, military intelligence agent, Shamil Basayev, and his brother. There's information that they have been long, for a long period of time, special agents of the main intelligence directorate of the Russian General Staff, which is also involved, you know, it's the GRU, Russian military intelligence. That explains the facts that Russia staged several explosions in Russia, and Kremlin was involved in ordering the Chechen terrorists to bomb 5 apartment complexes in Moscow and 2 in provincial cities that claimed 300 Russian victims in September of 1999. There was the case of explosion that never happened. It was the attack was uncovered in the Russian city of Ryazan, where the people that were involved in it were traced, and there was a phone call made to Russian security services in Moscow from these people. Then the local FSB office, formerly KGB, moved in and declared that they had planted the bomb, that it was a fake bomb made of sugar, and the planting had been part of an exercise to test the citizens' vigilance. You know, then there's also the important information, Chris, that the Russians are in fact selling the nuclear bombs and suitcase nukes to the Chechen Mafia. Some supposedly unreliable Russian military officers are selling these nuclear weapons. Of course, the case is that these were always protected by coding, by codes.
Hmm.
So in order for the Chechen Mafia to use them or sell them to Al-Qaeda and to be used against America, they have to know the codes. And the only people that know the codes are the Russian military officers. So the Russians are deliberately spreading, and this was published by British intelligence expert Simon Reeve in his book The New Jackals, and I'm reading here. Basically, the Russian government refuses to comment on allegation but the early that the early 1999 there were strong rumors in the Central Asia states that Chechen rebels were hoping to recruit former Soviet special forces. It's possible Al-Qaeda or the Taliban need these recruits to explain and work the coded control system of the suitcase bombs. And this is what the Russians are spreading around.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, when we learn that, in fact, the Chechen Mafia is Russian state, Russian government control, supposedly Islamic terrorist entity, and we can, of course, use a simple logic and say if the Chechens were able to obtain nuclear bombs from these Russian officers, how come they never used them against the Russia, against the Russian military and government targets?
That's a good question.
That's exactly, that's what's giving it up. basically. That's the main argument, that this is staged for our consumption, that the Russians are playing us for fools and trying to pretend that they will never have anything to do with whatever will happen in America.
Yeah, you see, this is why this is so very important. You have inside information. You do research in certain directions, and yet we see here Russia launches patriotism drive from BBC News. I see here that they've restyled their self back to the old Red Star. The hammer and sickle's probably there too somewhere.
Oh, I'm looking at it. That's coincidence, Chris.
You're looking at the same thing.
I clicked on the same thing.
Okay.
Unbelievable. I'm looking at the picture. Russia launches patriotism drive from BBC News. This is probably 2 years old article, but there's a picture of Russian girls wearing a white T-shirt with red star on it. Underneath, there's a sign in Russian.
Yes.
And I still remember some of my Russian, so I can read it. It says, "Our victory."
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
You know, and this is a huge demonstration.
Yes.
A lot of kids wearing the same kind of T-shirts. These are communists, you know, and this is the type of patriotism what the Russian government spreads around. So, you know, it's clear to me that they're preparing the citizenry for the wartime, for winning the war against the hated American capitalists. And this is what these kids are being fed throughout the school years. For example, in Czech Republic, our supposedly ally, the history classes stopped by the year 1945, so the kids never learn anything about communism. You know, this is not a coincidence. This is a strategic move, so the citizens would be dumbed down in order to, you know, to basically whatever comes next. As far as the communist moves, they wouldn't be prepared for it.
Now, they mentioned here there are plans to organize patriotic song contests and competitions for Patriot of the Year. Soviet-style military training will be reintroduced into schools there, Hansa.
Yeah.
Soviet-style military training
to
be reintroduced into
thing.
Schools.
When I went to school over there, not only that, every kid had a... Every pupil had a gas mask in storage in school. We were trained to throw dummy grenades. We had one time we had shooting classes and all that. So yeah, and of course before the military service where I was drafted, even in school we had the last year of the high school, I remember we had sort of military-type classes to teach us marching and all this stuff as far as the military. So this is nothing new to me. This is just confirming what I've been saying, that the collapse of communism in Russia and Eastern Europe is a fraud, major fraud, strategically organized by Russian communists, by the KGB, in order to put America to sleep, and to pretend that they are strategic allies, which is totally false. And when you look at the information we have, the facts about what the Russians are doing today as far as their war preparations, it confirms exactly what I've been saying, and it's a really serious business, you know, and unfortunately we have in our government people who either don't understand the dangers of this, or are, you know, outright recruited by the Russians. So unfortunately, we are in really big trouble this time.
Okay, so you see this happening. You see also that Russia has a strategic economic place in the Western Hemisphere here too, don't you?
Well, yeah, Russians are making moves. Especially in what is as far as the military strategy is, what is important to them. That means in the oil industry, they acquired our only platinum mine in Montana, Russian company now, Russian state-run company, I have to say, now owns the only platinum mine. So that the platinum is used for advanced weaponry, for nuclear submarines, for all this all these high-tech weapons. So now Russians own it. Russians are making moves to control Western European gas companies. They tied Western Europe into contracts, supplying them Russian oil and Russian natural gas. So they have major blackmail tool on Western Europe, which in fact the Russians in fact used it already and tested it against some port in Latvia, where they totally acquired the rights to the port. And when the Latvian officials declined to cooperate, they shut down deliveries to the port, and that was Latvia's only supply of oil. In fact, so the economy went kind of into difficulties, and the Russian tested it during the 90s. So this is the true phase, and this is what they will do in order to get their strategy implemented in Western Europe. So they don't really need to do anything over there, as far as I'm concerned, unless Western Europe realizes that they are really in deep trouble. In our case, they will most likely use their by them controlled Islamic terrorism, and of course they have probably several thousand of missiles hidden in those 200 nuclear bunker cities they built throughout the 90s, including the Yamantau Mountain and the Voronovo complex near Moscow. I have to inform your listeners again that the one bunker cost about $6 billion at the same time when the Russians claimed that they have no money for their military. So this is just about what these people are lying about. These are communists, and they shouldn't be trusted. That's the bottom line, Chris.
Well, according to Jeff Nyquist, Russia has developed a revolutionary new rifle-fired infantry weapon. It's the so-called vacuum grenade, which can give a single Russian soldier the firepower of a 55-millimeter howitzer. And he says also that Russia has begun joint production of this weapon with the Chinese.
Well, they were testing it. I remember that there was a sort of like a fired the rifle fired or machine gun fired grenade. We had it when I was already in the military. Throughout the 1980s, and also what they had, what I remember assembling before the live fire tests for the jets when I was in the Air Force, we had sort of small missiles. They were totally plastic, so they were untraceable. They were hard plastic, and only the tip we had to screw on was metal tip. That was it. But the whole small missile or racket or whatever you call it, was totally hard plastic, so there's no way that this could have been traced before the explosion. And you would only see on the radar that a small piece of metal is flying through the air, but that would be about it. So the effects were and this was already during the 1980s. So whatever they. This is just what I remember, just a small thing. I mean, I'm sure they came up with a lot of other stuff. You know, when you read the specs on the Topol M SS-27 missile, that's the state of the art, the best there is in the world. And unfortunately, we have nothing right now, no ABM system or technology that can shoot it down. So we are really, as a country, we are sitting ducks.
Now, Nyquist says that Russia is hoarding strategic metals, which are vital for keeping up war production through the first months of a nuclear world war.
Well, that's
and you just mentioned
they
that
are
mining.
Preparing for it. I've been saying this for a while. The only thing that The only thing that we put our trust in is the diplomatic nonsense, believing that the Russians will not do it. That they really were sincere when they signed the disarmament treaty, when they gave up, when they started claiming that communism failed, which in fact, you know, when you hear the quote from Dmitry Manuilsky from 1933, where he already outlined the plan of Russia to set up this kind of fraud called Perestroika 30, 40 years later, you know, this falls right into this. These are communists. These are evil people. We should never sign anything with them. You can't sign a treaty with criminals because they will never abide by it. That's as simple as it is. America is a society that we don't like really bad news. Unfortunately, Russians know that. They studied our society for long years, and they know how we will react. They know what the situation will be. These are the people that build their strategy on evil, evil background, basically foundation, which is the communist ideology. And therefore, they are prepared to implement it with all their might. And we are simply facing nuclear war with them. That's the bottom line. They will start it no matter what we do now, what we say, how much we sign with them. It doesn't matter to them. To them, any treaty is meaningless. That's the bottom line.
Now, keep in mind, you know about the book The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen, correct?
Right, yeah, I know about it.
The Naked Communist, written in 1957. And the congressional record, they had the 45 communist goals read into the congressional record. 44 of the 45 goals was internationalized the Panama Canal. And then number one is U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Now, I've said all along that this country is being set up for its unconditional surrender. Do you think that could ever happen?
Well,
do you think they could take us over without? My question is, do you think they could take us over without firing a shot by giving us an ultimatum?
Well, they will certainly try. I don't think the American people will stand for that. And if anybody from our leaders will even as far as little as mention it, I think he should be completely brought to justice as a traitor, because there's no surrender to communists. Because once we sign anything, let's say this would happen, I'm just hoping people have enough sense not to go through this. If this kind of happened, we all end up in concentration camps as slave labor.
Well, yeah, and this is my point about BRAC, base realignment and closure of our military bases. Could they be used as concentration camps in the future? Well, certainly they could.
Right. Plus, you know, these people have years and years of experience how to handle people in concentration camps. The Gulags are an example of that. I mean, you pick up a book by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Archipelago Gulag, and you read that, you find out these people don't make mistakes. They are committed to their cause, and no matter who stands in front of them and opposes them, it doesn't matter. They will wipe you out. That's the bottom line. There's no dealing with communists. The only way out of this is to fight them. That's the only way out of this. And, I'm sorry to say, but America is not prepared to fight communism because, simply said, our society is so infiltrated by these ideas that communism is just another ideology, that we really don't know what communism is. You know, we are about to find out, Chris, and we're going to find out the hard way. That's very obvious to me.
Well, in Anatoly Galitsyn's Perestroika Deception, he talks about the long-range deception strategy And he says, because of this communist control, the former Soviet bloc democracies are not true democracies and cannot become so in the future. To imagine otherwise is to indulge in wishful thinking. The early acceptance of false political opposition by the West is genuine, but led logically and as was intended to the contemporary environment of uncritical acceptance of this deceptive democracy as true democracy.
Right. Anatoly Golitsyn is totally correct. That's why he still has to hide in Britain, because Russians want him dead. He was proven 94% correct in his predictions about the collapse of communism, staged collapse of communism in Eastern Europe and Soviet Union. From, I believe, 145 or 149 predictions, he had 139 correct, or in that rate. So, it was amazing accuracy. And he knew, he figured out the plan. He was right in the middle of it, not directly, but he attended meetings with Khrushchev and Malenkov during those years when the long-term plan, the strategic plan was being prepared. So Golitsyn kind of figured it out based on the statements and the knowledge he had about the system, because he was right inside. He worked for the KGB sort of think tank at that time, and then he realized that this is all so evil that he has to escape with his wife and children. So when he was in Helsinki in Finland in 1961, he defected. Now, then of course Russians tried to set up propaganda against Golitsyn, painting him as schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic and stuff. And so, but Golitsyn is an amazing prophet as far as explaining about communism, and we should all learn from him very quickly.
Hans, call me after the show, would you?
Sure.
Give me a phone call after the show. Listeners, that was Hans Molina, former Czechoslovakian defector. Wished he was back in his country that wasn't a communist country, hopefully. We'll be back tomorrow night to continue more of this. God bless you all, and pray for the restoration of this republic. Good night.
Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite to Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio.